Standing firm, strong together, creating synergies.
I want to begin by saying this, that when I prepare talks, I tend to look at the things that we're not doing, or perhaps I sometimes spend a lot of time looking at the context and it becomes negative. And I end up pointing out more to negatives than acknowledging what God is doing in Africa, what God is doing in South Africa. And one of the good examples is this conference, to have people like you gathered here together. So there are many good stories. God is not sleeping. God is not absent. He is working. And that's why we have theological educators who want to hold on to the sound doctrine. So sometimes when I say a lot of negative things, it's not because there are not good things that the Lord is doing. But sometimes we do need to know those things so that we know how to confront them, rebuke each other, build one another up, defend, contend the truth. If we do not know those things, we will not be able to do that. But our topic here today is creating synergies, standing firm together as institutions. Well, I've got a subtopic there. And that's the reason why I'm beginning by saying God is working, is not sleeping. Because of that slide, you see all the negatives in that slide. But I'm hoping that as we seek to know each other and work together and partner and collaborate, we're all working towards restoring the integrity of the house of God, the church, to the glory of God. It's not about ourselves. It's not about our theological colleges. We want to hold on to good doctrine. But it's not about our persuasion. You know, I hold on to evangelical reformed theology. Because sometimes there could also be pride there. A little bit of pride. And I don't think God wants that. He wants us to be honest. He wants us to be open. And sometimes to be open to his rebuking us through his word. I think Paul says somewhere to Timothy, be gentle. You know, Paul will point out the false teachers. And he comes and say to the younger man, but be gentle in doing that to them. But I think the point that I'm wanting to bring across is that we can also, with our theology, which seems to be good in every way, have Satan, the enemy, creeping in and planting the seed of pride. Let's watch against that. But as I've said, there are the negatives. I don't know about other countries beyond South Africa. In South Africa, those slides, they tell us about the context where we do theological education. And I believe that that's even a stronger argument of why we should find ways of working together, of creating those synergies that will help us, those who hold on to the truth of the gospel. Well, I'm from Cape Town, and I know, and Fundisi Mawonga there at the back will agree with me, I know of apostles and prophets, or so-called, who are now prophet, apostle, professor, so-and-so. And I can tell you one of them, Mawonga and myself, we work in a very small Bible school called EPS. We use NPN and Nehemiah Bible Institute material. And I know this man, a bishop, who came to train for 18 months. It's a very basic course, not even equivalent to your first year university. And few months after finishing that program, I got a letter from him inviting him to his, he was being made a presiding bishop of his denomination. But after that event, there was going to be a celebration of him becoming a doctor in theology. This man has just been in my class for 18 months on a very basic course, and now he's becoming a doctor. That's one of the things. I've seen a few people working for Zima here. I was in Durban with Mark Hugo. I went to church with him. There was a conference and a short thing. And this doctor from Umlazi who was introduced, Dr. Sorin Sorin So. I love education, I love reading, I love to. And after this whole thing, I went to her and said, hey, I'm interested to know what is your doctorate on? Where did you do it? She couldn't tell me where, you know, what is the doctorate about. And when she told me where she did it, there was no South Africa, especially Western Cape. She told me somewhere in George. There is no university there. There is nothing. And immediately I realized. And I said to her, I would like to read your thesis. And she said, oh, the professor, and she named her, you know, his name of this professor, he's still doing X, Y, Z. And I immediately know. But this is what we, the context of where those who serve in South Africa, we work in the context where we have institutions that are giving people false hope. You pay your money, you become a doctor. You pay your money, you become a professor. Let alone, you know, BTH and honors. And in this particular college, I think it's this part of the world, Boksburg or somewhere, it even sells double doctorate qualification. I don't know what it is. So the sale of fake qualifications in the name of God. And the house of God is quiet. It's not saying anything. And this coming together, this standing together, might create a voice where we can speak into this situation. Secondly, why put, in fact, it's a quote from one of the leaders, he's in Joburg. He said, why fraudulently giving degrees? And he names them, left, right, and center. And he started this conversation, and like-minded people jump in and start and say, what can we do? We cannot keep quiet. Because the government looks at us, theological colleges, and say, you guys are not serious. Because the government has got no time. In fact, this particular school, I'm told, that it's in the list of those accredited schools. It's not just a college that has created a name and it's creating these degrees. I'm told that this particular college, which I'm not going to name by, mention it by name, is on the list. Thirdly, why is the church so silent concerning these fraudulent institutions? We are part of the church. Theological education is part of the church. It's helping the church to grow stronger, and we train pastors and teachers, we train evangelists. Theological education is a very important part of the church life. But the church is silent. There is no voice. Even if you try to, you know, toy all by yourself in a corner somewhere, who will take you seriously? But this year is a big group enough that we can focus on, number one, encouraging ourselves, partnering with one another. And I'm sure that through that, we could be a voice of good, sound, biblical theology. And here's another quote from a principal of a college in Cape Town. He says, because of charlatan institutions like these, the world mocks the church. And he says, sad, sad indeed. Why we decry the scourge of corruption in the public service, and we're very good in doing that, and thanks for our government that in South Africa, you can take the president to court. I know corruption is frustrating in South Africa. But there's a time when I travel outside South Africa, you don't mention the president in a negative way. At least in South Africa, we can still, Zuma, our former president, is facing charges. We don't know whether he's going to end up paying for that or not. But there's just that one aspect
But now, we Christians, we join those voices, rightly so, because we are citizens, but we are very quiet about what's happening in our own backyards. And lastly, just in terms of introducing this thought, there is no unity if there is no gospel. There is no unity if there is no gospel. If we are truly gospel-driven, good biblical sound theology-driven, last part of that point, bad theology hurts people. That you and me, we know that we are about seeing people growing in the Lord and in the knowledge of the Lord and holding on to that truth. And we cannot all by ourselves, you know, lonely in my corner there, do it. I need encouragement that I found in this week. But what's going to happen when we pack our bags and leave? Are we going to wait for another consultation? I'm leaving that question with you. The next line. One of the books in the Bible that have encouraged me to learn how to work together with others is Nehemiah himself. The whole book is a very good example. We'll come back to towards the end of my presentation and talk a little bit more about Nehemiah. But you know the story of Nehemiah. In chapter 1, this brother from Jerusalem, he comes and he tells him of the situation back home. And those were bad news for Nehemiah. You know the story. We don't have to read that whole chapter. But Nehemiah did something about it. Number one, he prayed. Number two, he took action, went to the king. And the scripture, the text doesn't say that he started talking about the situation in Jerusalem and the king said, oh no, this cannot be happening. But I think it was God's work that when Nehemiah come to the presence of the king realized that there's something wrong. And the king was the one who spoke and said, hey, your face is telling me, tell me, what is happening? And Nehemiah went on and told the king. And in chapter 2, we found Nehemiah now gone. And Nehemiah goes and inspects the wall. At night, it took very few people, but he didn't want many people to know what he was doing. Because he really wanted to see it himself, how much is the damage. But when he came back after examining and seeing how much the wall of Jerusalem is destroyed, that verse, come, let us join hands and build the walls of Jerusalem. And chapter 3 tells the whole story of different people coming alongside, one focusing on that part of the wall, one focusing on that part of the wall, one focusing on that part of the wall, but they were all together working towards building this project, this wall. I don't know how we can do it, but can we find at least in our heart to say, praise the Lord for good theology. Praise the Lord that he has left us with his word. But how do we respond to all these bogus Christian, so-called Christian institutions that are misleading our people? Well, the 4 points there, we'll come back to them later. But just in summary, this is what really Nehemiah did. Nehemiah, right from the beginning, we see that he was a man who never wanted to take his eyes away from the Lord, focusing on God. But there was a lot of discouragement. Well, even if you can't find a way today and agree on something that you're going out there and do in order for us to continue pulling together and working together, there will be those discouragement. And one of the Christian leaders that I quoted in that first slide, he went and confronted this college here. I think the college, well, I'm not going to mention where the college is for the sake of, you know, I may not mention. But he went and confronted. And as he was working with them, he found out that there were governmental
officials who were working with this college. And that was the end of his road. So we will found discouragement, but we're not going to allow it to stop us. Number three, working in partnership, working together. And lastly, the word, and focusing on the word, and we'll see the revival. And that is Nehemiah. We're going to come back to that. Now, there's a wonderful article that is called The Power of Synergy by that man. He's a Christian. And this is what he says about the synergy. In looking at the purpose of God for our lives, synergy is when our lives come in contact with others to create something we could never create alone. So there are things, there are areas where I cannot reach, but together, working together, we can respond to those areas. You know, to know one another like this, I've met people from Eswatini, it's been wonderful. We have work in Eswatini, and they happen to come from the same family of Mama Mzebele, who is part of our children's program there in Eswatini. It's wonderful. They'll be sending greetings now to Mama Mzebele. So the family is getting bigger and bigger. Something we could not never create alone. Number two, we should be working with each other and training the younger members to develop their giftings. Sorry about that apostrophe. They're supposed to be just giftings. I was sitting with my brother from Zambia, and back in Cape Town, Mawonga will tell you, I love working with young people. They are not just the leaders for the future. They are leaders now. I don't want to embarrass them, but the few of them that I know here who have gone further, godly pastors have gone further in studies, and they are doctors here today. I'm not going to even look to where this particular person I'm referring to is sitting. But I get excited, brothers and sisters, when I see these godly people, people who are taking God seriously, people who are taking His word seriously, people who are serious about their own lives as Christian leaders. Number three, we need to prepare people in all fields of life to follow Christ so that they can be a witness for Him in their area of ministry. We cannot be everywhere. We cannot be able to do everything. But if we know that somewhere in Kailisha, somewhere in the rural part of Ngomobo, Ngomobo is a small town in the Eastern Cape, for those who do not know. If I know that there's someone there, I don't need to drive or fly from Cape Town. I work with that brother, and that brother will do the work of the Lord. But my role will be to encourage him and strengthen his hands as he encourages me as well. In that article, these are the four things that he summarizes what he says. Synergy helps us to create something we could never produce on our own. Number two, the power of synergy is released as we partner with others. Number three, community is shared responsibility and releases the power of synergy. When we come together, I know we come from all over South Africa and Southern Africa. True kingdom synergy extends to the next generation. That is his point. But that's really my passion. That's my heart. Let's go back to that one, number three. Some of you, you know Dr. Steve Hardy. He's an SIMer. When he was at SIM, his role from SIM was to consult in theological education. And it came a time when he stepped down, and he is still around. In fact, he sent me a message a few days ago in secret, I'm praying for the conference. He's known to Mukanyo very well. And I've been trying to find in the region, Southern Africa, I've been trying to find ways of creating this partnership. I haven't succeeded, and mainly because of COVID. I only started as a regional director in 2019, April, I visited just to go and see who's who in the region. And I was planning to go back last year and spend a little bit more time in each country. And theological education is main part of that. And SIM, those who know, one thing that SIM has done very well, those many years ago, when they go into a country, they start the Theological College of Bible School. Those Bible schools are not SIM Bible schools. They get handed over to the local churches. But we're still in partnership. All over Southern Africa, we have those schools. But we work in silos. Even the schools that belong to same partner churches, even across the border, Zambia, Malawi, Zimbabwe, there's no working together. And one of our colleges in Malawi is struggling. I don't know if they've shut it down as we speak. Mainly because of resources, but human resources, teachers and lecturers. And there might be lecturers that you know who say, I will go to Malawi. Or maybe I can spend a week or 2 weeks and do a block course, a special course in Malawi, if we have come to know one another and come to this partnership and have a desire to work together. If there's one person here from Southern Africa who has a desire to help me, not by joining SIM, but to coordinate these theological colleges, speak to Mukanyo. Because we need it. Especially me, for the region that God has, for these years, given me to lead, I would love to see those schools working together. But they can't just happen on its own. Because of time, let me push on. Just a little bit about partnership. Please, when you see the pictures here, they are all Googled. I will say, Google, please give me a picture of this. I'm not very artistic. So please don't leave this room and thinking that I know how to do all of that. And of course, when you do PowerPoint presentation these days, it helps you, gives you all different formats. So, but partnership and collaboration is key. And partnership does take many different forms. It may be two organizations coming into agreement and partnership, but it can be more. It can be more than three, it can be 20 networking together because they are similar minded. And thirdly, and I like that, I want to come back to it towards the end, because Nehemiah led the people to pledge their loyalty and commitment to God. Now those who placed their seal on the document were Nehemiah, the governor, the son of and Zedekiah. The lesson there for us, and I wish that we had time to discuss this more and say, what can we do? And see people are saying, I am willing to take this forward. I am willing in the corner of the world where I'm working to start organizing something, working in collaboration with others. But we need an action like that. Because do we want to come back next year and talk about partnership and collaboration? Everybody that I've met in this conference, there's no doubt that I spoke to, there's no doubt in my mind that they love Jesus. And they take his word seriously. And there's no doubt, at least from those conversations, that they hold or they want to hold on to the truth of the gospel. So we are all candidates ready, but we need an action. Why Christian leaders are to make an intentional effort to work together. And I think following to that last point there in that slide, if there is no intentionality, it's not going to work. But I know that this is not an easy work. It's sacrificial work. We are living in a day when the message of the church is changing. Well, the first slide I talked about what's happening within
especially in South Africa, we've got these bogus colleges and giving certificates, doctorates, professorship, left, right, and center. But it's not just only that. We've been talking about false prophets. We've been talking about apostolic and their prophets, so-called. That is hitting our continent. When Brian was introducing that movie that we watched, he said something that I always tease Americans about. And please don't be offended to any American. But I always say, hey, you Americans, you are so good in everything, including prosperity gospel. But we in Africa, we take it from you and we Africanize it. Because our late brother, I think he died early this week, is really a guru in creating this new trend of prophetic movement. And I would say to the Nigerians, you Nigerians, because you are so super energetic, you go out to America and you bring it to Africa. And you just change it slightly so that it looks African. You put a little bit of sangoma here and there, and our people get excited. And now, Southern Africa, they go to Nigeria and get it from there. And they do even worse. Because our brother in Nigeria has never spared anyone the doom and all those stories that I shared yesterday. So these things are happening. But besides that, in the workshop that I attended by my brother there, it's not just this prophetic movement, which has got a lot of ATR. All different philosophies have come in the church. People are going to the church for themselves, not because of God. And our brother reminded us again yesterday afternoon and say people have replaced God and put a small g God, which is me. A cat theology. I don't know if you've ever heard that illustration. A cat is there so that the master serve the cat. Sorry for those people who are lovers of cats. I love cats. But a dog theology, when you open your gate, the dog is there, wagging its tail. Here comes my master. I want to serve him. Well, those illustrations are not, you don't find them here in the Bible, but I like them. Because you do see a cat. You know, a cat can get very upset if you do not serve. If you move the cat from where, you know, from the place that it has claimed as its own place. A dog is different. So churches are living in times where the message of the cross is changing, and churches are moving away from the old message of the cross, salvation, through the blood of Christ. The old message of the blood of and the cross of Christ is quickly being replaced by Christless message that lacks power and that lacks hope. And this Christless message is dangerous. That's why I said in the beginning, you know, bad theology does hurt people in the end. My cousin that I told you about, I don't remember when was it, or it was in the workshop, you know, he said to me, you know, you Christians, you born-again Christians, you are all fake. Why do you tell us to stop praying and asking Mary to intercede for us? And you say that it's not in the Bible. But you go out and steal money from old pensioners. I don't do that. You don't do that. But how can you tell that man you see his Christianity like that? But there's more. And we need people who will put God, Christ, the Word in the center. I like this African proverb. I'm sure you've heard this proverb. I think it's from East Africa. Where's my brother Rogers? I think it's from Kenya. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I just like that proverb because it talks about what we're trying to think about and talk about here. But also our theology, it demands it. It asks for it. Regardless of our identities All of us have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all.
We've got one Father. We've got one Bible, one Holy Spirit. And there is even a bigger need for us to find ways of working together.
Number two, through the victory of Jesus, a new humanity has been formed in the earth to bear witness to the glory of God.
Somewhere in the Bible, they say, people will see how you behave and they'll get to know your Lord and get to... That's not what the Bible says exactly, but my interpretation of that is that if they see God in us, they realize that there is God in heaven. And Matthew chapter 5 talks about light and salt, and it talks about the works of God that we do. And I think it's that passage that I'm referring to. And people, through what we do, and one of the things that we do, yes, it begins here individually, but do we pull together? Do those people who are outside the church, who are living and dying, can they say, wait a minute, I know those. I might not be a Christian, but I know those. They're very different. They are very different from those. Not because we want to go around and beating ourselves as different, but because we want to be God glorifying.
Here's another illustration. Our actions and attitudes reflect, or should reflect, the grace of God given in the gospel. You know, Paul in Philippians, I think it's chapter 2.
Sorry, something's happening here. Philippians chapter 2. Paul talks about being same mind, and I think it's verse 5 that talks about the mind of Christ. But I think three times in that passage, he exhorts the Christians to be like-minded. But he makes sure, which I want to make sure here today, that we don't just do it that so that our name are remembered. You know, the Tower of Babel, but that because Christ is in the center. He is doing it through you and me.
Ephesians 3 verse 10 marks the church as the agency through which, and I'm using that word colorful wisdom there. Many translations that don't use that word, but I was told that that's very close to the original word. And I like it, the colorful wisdom of God is made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places.
And John Piper spoke on this verse in 2010 when the Lausanne was in Cape Town, and he helped us to understand what Paul meant by principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Sometimes we go around cursing trees and taking out demons from every corner. And John Piper helped me to understand that sometimes even those people who sit in our parliament and make those laws that fight against us, it's because they are influenced by the enemy of the cross.
The church is a place where the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints is demonstrated. What makes a difference, this partnership, this coming together?
We are not talking about the ecumenical movement here, and I'm not here to bash that. But we do have ecumenical movement out there, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about intentional partnership for the sake of the gospel.
Number two, it's not just another call for unity, for church unity.
I'm sure you've heard that many, I don't know for how many times, church unity. Church must unite. But I'm talking about people. Another picture is somewhere in Malachi, I think it's the end of chapter 3, or beginning of chapter 3, You know the story in the context of Malachi. You know, God speaking to his people, and they spoke back to him. Why do you say that, God? How have we robbed you, God? And towards the end of Malachi, you find this beautiful picture of those who heard and feared the Lord. They came together. This is the kind of thing I'm talking about. Not just unity for the sake of unity, but that comes from the knowledge of the truth and those who fear the Lord.
Clear agreement on the essentials of our mission and not major on minor theological differences. Will be important. We are different. We were constituted. We are established very differently. And there will be differences here and there. There will be different emphases. But I think it's the main thing. All we want to grow in Christ and grow in making sure that we hold on to the truth and we believe that all our theology is driven from here. You might not be from my denomination, but you are my brother and sister. And I agree with you, and you should agree with me. But once we start to impose things that are not here, then that will divide us. Leaders must find ways to navigate around and through other issues, but the primary point is that core theology of the Bible demands that genuine efforts be made to accomplish these greater goals.
Different colleges do different things. In somewhere, we have a Bible college, I think it's in Liberia, I don't know what part of Africa that is. Forgive my ignorance, I wanted to say, you know, it's not in the north. No, it's not North Africa. We've got a wonderful college there. Pastors, they came for training, they came with their wife for 3 years, and family, the whole family. But they do schools there for children. And women are taught, you know, things that will help them when their husbands are out there preaching the gospel and pastoring churches. And I was in Zimbabwe, just outside of Mutare. Evangelical, good theology. I've forgotten the name of the school when we were doing that research. But one of the things they do, just to show that we do things differently, they've got a large piece of land. Guess what they do? They train these pastors because they know that these pastors will be very difficult to sustain themselves in Zimbabwe. They use that piece of land. They've got someone who's qualified to know how to farm, and he helps them to farm. And guess what? That theological college is selling veggies to the local supermarket. And they get the money to operate the school so that they don't charge big exorbitant fees to the students. There are differences. There are many different things that we do, and your college might not be involved in that. Your college might be focusing solely in teaching and making sure that the 3 years, because 3 years is not enough. You know, when I finished my theological degree, Sipho said that in his workshop yesterday, I wanted to go back and say, no, guys, please give me more. This context, where I'm working, I need more. Thank you for the basic. Things like that.
That's the term, let's move on. Relationships are the most important basis of synergy in the establishing of genuine relationships. And trust is one big thing. But we cannot just go straight to trust without building relationships. And a week like this is the beginning of building relationships. I don't know how many people have exchanged contact details. It was the beginning. There are quite a few people that I know before I came here. When I came here, I met them. But there are new people, new brothers and sisters that God has given to me. So it's the beginning of the relationship. But that will take time before they will trust me to say, hey, we can invite you in our pulpit. Trust. Or for me to say, hey, we have this in your region. Can you serve us by doing X, Y, Z? Because now there's trust. I know this brother. I know this sister that can do that. So trust is very important. Intentionality, I've spoken about that. And lastly, intimacy through the word, prayer, and worship. I think the emphasis, brothers and sisters, if it's not based
in God and His Word, we are just building another Tower of Babel. But it should be really, truly driven by God Himself through His Word. Now, coming back to Nehemiah, I've got just six slides and I'll be done. But here's the first one about Nehemiah, focusing on God. You know, in the context of those disruptions and people wanting to stop him from building, this is what he says in chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Then I said to them, you see the distress that, this is the beginning of in chapter 2, when after investigating and he's now calling people. You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. Can we learn from that? It continues. That you may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God. You can read the rest of that text. But when we come to that part, when Nehemiah said, and I told them the hand of God. He was sharing witness of the whole trip, from the time he heard about the news of Jerusalem to the time when he spoke to the king. Nehemiah saw God working all the time. And in Timon, and like Nehemiah, we need to pray fervently to God for his strength and his wisdom to help us in doing his will. We need to ask God to forgive us our sins so that God can use us. Let's talk about the pride there, that even us. I don't know about you, I'm not perfect. I still desire that arrow illustration, that shaft, which is me, still my prayer, that Lord. And sometimes I want to kick myself because when I pray, I find myself praying almost every day and saying, Lord, help me to be like you. Today, as I'm going to venture out and meet people, Lord, will people see you in me? Because it's easy to be deceived. Overcoming discouragement. We cannot compromise with our opponents or enemies. Well, in this case, especially in our South African context, I was sitting with, there are two people that we were discussing this last night after dinner as we were waiting for the movie. And we are talking about our context in South Africa, where it seems that the government is moving on to suppress true Christianity in this country. Well, I might be wrong, I don't know. And those who know the government very well might say, Siegfried, you are wrong here. But when we see all the laws that are being made, and when we see how difficult it is for a college to get its accreditation, and how difficult for our missionaries now to get visas to come and work in this country, it's easy for us to believe that, well, there is something that is working against us. But that shouldn't distract us from the main thing. But Nehemiah chapter 4, he says, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayers to our God. Maybe your college. Well, my brother Eugene and myself, we sit on the search committee of, and brother Eric, we sit on the search committee of DPC. And we know how long DPC has been without accreditation. And I know many schools that have suffered. I was working full-time at GWC. It took us years, I cannot remember how many years, for us to get accreditation. It's not easy. But that second part. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. I like Nehemiah. He prayed, But he was a man of action as well. He made sure that, hey, we don't come here and disrupt us. But the key thing is to never take our eyes off God. The second point, so I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. The third one, working in partnership and collaboration, Nehemiah and the people were able to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem within 52 days. Chapter 3 there is a very good example. It tells you about the different groups who came together and built. Because he knew what needed to be done. He saw the urgency of the work. He knew what needed to be done. Not just for the sake of unity. Number two, he presented his plans to the people and sought to cooperate their cooperation with everyone. We talk about one man, Nehemiah. We can do it. Find a man. Maybe, I don't know if Mukanya has got enough energy to continue this conversation further. I won't mention the name of a Bible college that did a similar thing like this beginning of the year. Last year, before we were closed down, I assumed that they'll be here. If I didn't know that they'll be here, I would have called the principal and say, do you know about this consultation? Because they're also godly and like-minded, like us here. So sometimes you want to do this thing there and this thing there. But what if we can come together? Just here in Johannesburg, they did exactly the same thing. And there were wonderful people that I met from Uganda, wonderful people I met from all over Africa, well, mainly Southern Africa. When I came here, I thought I would see those people. Well, maybe it's just ignorance, innocently. But what I'm saying is that there are people who have this vision. And you and me are to support and pray that for the sake of his gospel and for his glory in Africa, we want to see this thing happening. But I like that first one. He presented the plan. Number three, he was courageous, strong, not fearful of his enemies. When I listen to my brother, who is talking about defending or contending, I see that spirit in him. Strong, not fearful. In a godly way, we need to be seen, not to be fearing of the things that are happening in our context. He had great faith in God. So he said, I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work here so that I cannot come. I am busy with God's work here. Stop. I nearly say stop your nonsense. Not your nonsense, but those people trying to disrupt us. But I understand that if you're a Zulu like me, when you say the word nonsense, it will be too strong. So I don't mean to come across that way. But we need to let them know that, yeah, you cannot stop us. You cannot tell us what to do. We are busy. This is very important. And number four there. And because of time, I want to wrap up. I'm not going to read that whole passage. But if you know Nehemiah chapter 8, that is about Nehemiah chapter 8. This is the time now when the walls were completed and all the trips of people returning from exile were back in the land. I like the beginning of that. Because it was the people themselves who came to Ezra and say, bring the law of Moses. Open that book and teach us. Show us God. Show us the ways of God. We want to know them. We want to live with them. And Ezra and a high place, he opened the law of Moses and he started teaching people. But that highlighted thing, they are like it, because even Ezra, that verse doesn't tell us that he exchanged with his people, they were taking turns, but because this thing took the whole day, I'm sure that Ezra, there was a time, I think, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I think that Ezra, there was a time when he was presiding over this whole thing, but I'm sure that there was a time where all those who were standing next to him, left, right, left and right, help him in reading the law. So there was collaboration there. The last part of that quote, when people heard, the word I want to use is not there, but it's the same word that in my mind, same picture in my mind of what happened at Pentecost when Peter stood up and preached. The word pierced through their hearts. Man, what shall we do? There was repentance. There was amen and amen agreeing. And later on, the leader said to the people, hey, this is a day of celebration. Go back home, prepare meals, and share with those who do not have. Those are the four things that I just wanted us to learn from Nehemiah. We cannot do it away from God and His Word. And if there's no hunger to know God through His Word, even in our theological education, and I was reading a book later that afternoon. Someone here, God give me that book. It's a beautiful book about Christian teachers. Some of you know the book. And I picked up quickly of the things that a Christian teacher is. He is a counselor. He's a teacher. And there are a lot of things that are written in that book. And it reminded me when things changed in South Africa, when HIV/AIDS was big, my sister, who is a teacher, he said to me when I visited her in Durban, she said, we actually don't know how to teach these days because we need to be counselors. We're not trained to be counselors. Would you find time, as we heard yesterday from the professor, to look at those students that come to you, come from different backgrounds, and as my brother Glenn reminded us yesterday, come from these other teachings that they have been receiving at school. In South Africa today, we hear that at primary school, they've been teaching sex education, things like that, homosexuality. Our children are exposed to that, and they finished, and they feel called by God, and it comes to your college. As we move to a close, synergy does not occur on its own initiative. It only occurs in the context of genuine interaction. And the Christian community, human interaction presumes the presence of a divine interaction in and among us. And this is the last slide. And I want to add by what Jesus told his disciples. Now, I think there's another slide. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. But Jesus said to his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Quickly, this is the last one. So like Nehemiah, we need to pray fervently to God for his strength and for his wisdom to help us in doing his work together. And lastly, we need to ask God to forgive us our sins so that God can use us. It's not clear when you read just verse 21. If you've got time, please, at home, read 2 Timothy chapter 2. Begin from verse 19 and 20 to get the context of that verse. But that verse says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. As we talk about this collaboration, as we talk about this partnership, as we learn from Nehemiah, God and his word through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, is at the center. And where we have sensed that Siegfried has come forward and has been seen as this man that I'll repent. Because it's easy when people come and say to me, "Oh, Baba Ngubane, oh, you're such a wonderful man. Oh, Baba Ngubane, you're such a wonderful this and that and this." I understand why people do that. But you know, in me sometimes, the enemy creates something that I need to repent and say, "Lord, it's not me. I'm just a vessel." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, this is the end of the conference today, not this session, but today we'll be packing our bags and we'll be going to our different places where you have called us to work. I pray, Father, that we will learn from you, we will have an ear that listen to you, and that, Lord, we will learn from one another, and that we will seek to do that, knowing that you, Lord, can help us to grow even better in our different ministries, including our theological colleges, by learning from one another. So we pray, Father, that you just continue to be with us right through today. In Jesus' name, amen.